Hi, Brooke. So, Brooke, what a masterful piece of dancing you gave us with Palm Royale.
Well, thank you so much. It really is one of the most special things I think I've ever worked on and the most unique project. There's nothing that I've ever done on that large of a scale with the complications and the magic of it, and it really was this icing on top just to have that recognition.
That Havana Nights, I think I've watched that one sequence probably 7 or 8 times already because it is so well done, Brooke. And it's not just the main principles that we see as we're doing a pass the baton trying to get to the ruby necklace. It's all the background. You must have had easily well over 100 background dancers in that sequence.
We had 65 background dancers. I think on set they might have had anywhere for an extra, 100 or 200 extras that were more sitting on the tables and then maybe bouncing their shoulders a little bit, but not necessarily as dancing. But yes, and then when you add the actors in the middle, it was a good 75 people out there moving that I kind of had my hands on.
And as much as I love the focus on the principles, it's everything happening with those background dancers that is so well choreographed and circulating the entire room. You use that entire space with your choreography.
We did.
How do you even approach a sequence like the Havana Nights? And obviously, you had to work with cinematographer Todd McMullen on this one in terms of, because you've also got to worry about the camera placement.
It was a head explosion. I opened up those pages, and for a long time, you kind of start like jotting down things. I was like, I don't even know. I don't even know where to go. I don't even know where to start. Like, it was, how do I start to break this down? Because I could see how big it was. And the massiveness of dialogue and dance is that when you shoot dialogue, you don't have any music playing. So we did all of that without any music going on the whole time. It's really fun to explain all this stuff and then kind of still it's like, how did that all work? But with the dancers and doing that, we created movement. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we did was my assistant and I, who Kiki, actually, he's nominated for his own Emmy this year as well, too, which is fantastic. We created sequences nonstop. So there was constant phrases, probably 6 different phrases to give the dancers so that they always had choreography to go to, and they were always with a new partner. So there was constantly a vocabulary of theirs. Then we divided the dancers, and we called them kind of quadrants, like you're in corners, A, B, C, D. And you had a little bit of your moving corner that you lived in. So it's like if you got up to the party, that's where you were dancing. Except we do circulate a bit, and you have to rotate your partner as it was stated in the song, and we had to have traveling movement. So as we went through the dialogue, you knew where your quadrant was, but knowing that also I could start and now I'm in quadrant A, and now by the third section I'm in quadrant C, and then I go backwards. So it was the dancer's responsibility to always know their placement because we shot out of order as well. So now you had to remember at this dialogue scene, this is where I was, because I couldn't at that point. I couldn't remember everybody's home court. And so that was a lot of their responsibility too, because otherwise they were staying in the same spot and it wouldn't have that natural feel. So that was the mapping and the vocabulary that just I love that you noticed that, because that was just a different art form that alone, without the actor's dialogue. Like, they were a different roadmap in their sense, and the dancers had their own personal roadmap that they played with the whole time.
And what I also found interesting in looking at all the background dancers is while the primary dance is the rumba, I'm seeing waltz movements in a lot of the background dancers. So they weren't trying to upstage those in the foreground.
Sort of song, you go at any party, not everyone's going to dance. I didn't want them to look like they were all doing the set choreography that we would give in. So it was here, it play with that choreography and now make a little bit of adjustments. And now, okay, maybe you're the tired couple. Everyone also, a fun game that we play is what's your story? So what's your story in your head? Why did you come to this party? Are you married? Are you looking for a date? Like we would play these games of so that they actually had some sort of acting base that went along with why they chose to move. And that's also really fun to step into that environment, imagining that you were at this party, 70 years ago and having the time of your life.
One of the things that I really appreciate that you also do is with your principal players, primarily, obviously, the characters, Kristen Wiig, Julia Duffy, we're getting even a slapstick note to the choreography, especially when we've got Julia and Kristen. And it's very much
My favorite.
the two of them absolutely hilarious. I mean, the definition, the lines, it plays out very much as there's notes of slapstick that harken back to the early films, the 1930s. And I just love how you brought that to life, and especially with the two of them.
That was fantastic, and the only difficulty of that was, I sort of waited for when they came back into the room, but we created that movement without them. So working with my core group of dancers that were sort of my actor fill-ins, they were standing in for them. We created what that scene looked like because we wanted their dialogue to be so comfortable. We wanted the comedy, we wanted the delivery of their performance to be able to come out and still have dancing. So when you have this song of like, oh, you're dancing the boy part, you can hear the tone. And so my two dancers, I had Nancy Anderson and Jessica Keller, who were just brilliant dancers. We were playing and having so much fun, and I couldn't, Jessica's shoulders couldn't get even high enough to her ears as she's, trying to think about what it would feel like, and these little pulls and these snags and the snarkiness of it. That was so fun. But what we wanted to do is not have the movement be hindering it. So we sort of, how could we play with those beats and make them into dancing? And then you show your actresses what the movement is, and they're like, great, this is it. Kind of really sold what they did. The only thing that we had in was when Duffy, she was like, I actually think I'm gonna roll her and give her a bigger dip. And I was like, okay, I wasn't gonna put that into your hands. I wasn't gonna tell you had to dip anyone. She's like, I would absolutely. And then you take their fun with it. But it's really special. I'm kind of trying to put together a video of showing my rehearsals to the finished product of how these pieces came about, and it's pretty magical that they look almost identical to what was on the final screen. So it's special that they we gave them the right character to play just how they needed to be.
I would be remiss not to mention the hilarity of whatever the heck Josh Lucas was doing when.
Down, walked into, and that, and then that's almost a different sort of character base, where my dancers were, we were almost a little bit less, kind of gave him these fun little rocks, and he was like, his arms just swung a little bit higher like a monkey, and I was like, don't change a bit, the bigger, I encouraged their character to come out, and he was a star that I'm not saying I underestimated, but I don't over choreograph people because I don't want it to be too challenging.
Yeah.
And then when he came in and I was like, we can amp you up. You know exactly what you need to do. He was a character and I took everything that he brought in.
Just fantastic. But then we also have the beach ball. And much more contained, very much like a Broadway musical number on a stage with showgirls on tabletops and things throughout the room. But you've got Maxine coming down from the ceiling. You've got mermaids hanging in the air. What kind of challenges did that present to you after having this huge spatial awareness you had to worry about? Now it's on the flip side of that, it's much smaller that you have to contain right. this big entrance with.
You know, when it's something like that, I feel like we are an extension to the beauty of the art direction. We're an extension to the costumes. We're an extension to, you know, what has been given to us. And we are like the moving art. So with those, you know, starfish dancers and the seaweed and the jellyfish, you know, basically the set would be, you know, the scene would be set up and then it was like, okay, put two jellies there and two starfish and now we're movement is like we're underwater and we were again like moving art decoration. And then when you had Maxine's entrance, we were working like it was a Broadway, you know, show. We had moving set pieces that were being pulled and with timing and the camera pullback that we were creating that on the stage, on the set, literally only like hours before we shot it because, you know, you have to wait for those moving aspects to come into life so that we could have that be, you know, come together with what else was happening at the time. So that's just a different way to work. And that's kind of the beauty I love with television is that, you know, you have to always go with the flow with it. And everything doesn't take practice. And everything is not turn on the music, learn choreography, and press stop. It sort of has a growing life to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm very curious about your work with Todd McMullen, the cinematographer. Because obviously, as you're working in your quadrants for the Havana Nights sequencing, you've got so much happening and you've got to worry about the camera placement, where the cameras and the lights are as well with your choreography. Did you and Todd have a lot of discussions?
Oh yeah. not so much prior. You know, when it comes into a scene, you know, you imagine first that there are no cameras, there's nobody there, you're just dancing at the party. Then we get to shooting the scene. So now it's per shot, we're setting everything up. And basically, as we've just finished shooting one corner, let's see what's happening this corner. Then camera gets set up, you know, Todd showing what are the angles. Now I can look into the camera and see how far things are going, where, what's being placed. And then, you know, working with the different, how zoomed in you are and how wider you are changes, again, a little bit of the perspective of the dancer. So what makes it look so natural is a lot of times those dancers that are just on the corner of the camera, the swipes across, mm-hmm. the distance of the crossing, and those little things change per angle. So what was really nice is as we're getting ready for every shot, that was sort of the work that the dancers and I were sort of placing so that when the actors came back in and were ready to shoot, some of those elements are already in there. Then, you know, you're kind of sometimes standing behind the camera and there's Abe and it's like, it looks empty. And you kind of are on the outside, maybe pushing somebody in so you can keep the shot, not having to reshoot. Like, maybe just they can see my fingers and, you know, you're giving like hand signals, like you're directing at an airport, just to get those, the unnaturalness it takes to make a show is dancing like that to make it look natural. So yeah, I have so much love of what you've seen because that's a lot of the work that, not saying is un, it. Again, I know what it takes to make those things. I see it in the camera, and I'm happy when it works, but it's really nice that someone else recognizes that what made that happen.
Yeah, it's all the background and the periphery. That really caught my eye. That's why one reason I kept going back and rewatching the sequence. Because there is so much happening. There is never a moment. There is not movement. There is not fluidity. And it just adds so much. And it's actually metaphorically serves as great connective tissue for Maxine trying to connect with everybody. And with and with the Palm Royale group. And I love how it's music and dance that really are the connective tissue in what is like the midpoint of the series almost.
Right. It's such a beautiful like heartbeat that sort of is growing. And again, like you're saying, it connects and you see those sort of lines and those poles. And yeah, it really, it went, once that number was shot, there was a lot of, you know, even the talk was just like, wow, we see this, this made a lot of stuff come alive. And it felt really beautiful to be a part of that.
Any pool incidents? You had to choreograph around a pool too.
Well, you know, what's so funny is that that pool was made there, which was great. I don't actually think we had too many. I mean, because the pool was a little bit safe and we, you know, at most points it's, please don't get by the pool. You know, you don't really need anything like stay as far away. So, you know, that was a good day. Except for, you know, probably by the end of the day, you really wish you could just put your feet into the pool, you know, and relax. But other than that, it was just gorgeous that they built the pool in the middle of the Biltmore Hotel.
And the fact that Biltmore let them do it, that just...
Right.
That's mind-boggling. But between the pool, the bridge, I love the bridge as a centerpiece for what you designed. Just absolutely beautifully, beautifully done. I got news for you, Brooke. Busby Berkeley would be very proud of you.
Oh, that really warms my heart. Honestly, I really feel so lucky to be sort of in this place right now and where people have been here in the past. And again, I just love doing what I do, and I love making work fun, and I love when it can get the product it needs to, and I love when, you know, the actors, directors, you know, anyone related feels like that was something that came alive, and so that's why I love my job, is that it feels like it brings a lot of joy, so I'm just happy to be a part and, you know, just do what I do.
Well, you definitely brought me a lot of joy with what you've done in Palm Royale. I hope season 2 you get to come back and that there are more fun-filled events.
I would love it. You know, let's hope for all of that. That would be fantastic, and you know, and a lot more to come. That would be great.
Brooke, congratulations on the work. Congratulations on the Emmy nomination. That just thrilled me to no end when I read your name.
Thank you. It's really beautiful, and especially for something that's not a traditional, obvious number. You know, I think we're used to seeing a big show number or something, and to get the recognition for something that was so magical to make and really was one of the most challenging things, it felt like a real honor.
Well, I'm hoping that for season 2, you're going to get to come back. We'll have more great balls and dance numbers. And maybe you'll get to choreograph a rumba for Carol Burnett.
Oh, just a dream. Yeah. We'll get a move in. Yeah. Well, thank you again for taking the time. It really made me smile.
Brooke, thank you so much. And best of luck for the Emmys.
Thank you. Yeah. Crossing our fingers. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Hopefully I'll get to talk to you again.
I hope so, Brooke. Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Of course. Bye-bye.